Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 24, asking these three questions. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the end of this world? Are you ready for your judgment? We see many things that are coming to pass in our time. And of course, the people of God have always considered that the return of the Lord Jesus and the end is always near. But I don't think that we've ever seen things in the situation that they are now. Israel is a nation, and there are those that threaten her very much. We've got famine in the world. We've got plagues in the world and sickness and disease that we have a difficulty getting under control. There's the threat of war, ISIS and Russia and the unstable situation that Europe is in and all the fighting and turmoil in Africa. We've got just generally society breaking down. Think about our own country where we have rioting and just a disregard for law. Those that are in the political system seemingly just for self. They don't wish to govern for the benefit of the nation or the people. An attitude of just giving everything. Everything is to be given. Nothing should be worked for. Just on and on and on. Our morals are warped. We live in a land that has killed millions of babies by abortion. Marriage is being sought to be redefined when God Almighty ordained marriage and between a man and a woman. And God ordained it, and that's the way it to be. It's to be, and where it's not to us to change it. The family is an institution that's being attacked, and every institution is being attacked. And free speech is only free if it's allowed to do anything but stand for righteousness. If you're going to stand for righteousness, then that speech is not allowed to be free. And I'm thankful that we presently have the ability to be able to even make a broadcast such as this. And so we want to challenge you to listen and to hear what God says in His Word and consider, are you ready? Are you ready for this to be wrapped up? Are you ready for the end of your life and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the end of this world and for your judgment? You have a judgment that you will attend, and it'll be before the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll either attend that judgment as someone that was saved here in time on this earth, or you'll be stand before Him in judgment at another judgment as one that rejected Him in time on this earth. We don't wait to the judgment to find out our eternal state. The Bible is clear and the Lord is clear. That is determined on this side of death. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we urge you, repent of your sins and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul. And so we left off here last time, Matthew 24:15, here speaking about spending some time trying to explain and clarify this about what it says here. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, that let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And so this reference here is speaking to those that are in Judea. That's what it's talking about. Not all the Lord's people in the world, but those that are here in Judea. And so the disciples in verse 3 have asked the Lord Jesus three questions. They showed him the buildings of the temple. He said, it's coming a time when not one stone's going to be on top of another, which would really wow him, because that was no doubt a magnificent site in construction. And so they ask him, when's this going to happen? When shall these things be? In verse 3, what shall be the sign of when you come back? And what will be the sign of the end of the world? And so the Lord's talking to him about that. He says here, these that be in Judea, when you see this one stand in the holy place, we read last time over in 2 Thessalonians about how the wicked, the man of sin, will seemingly stand up and declare himself to be God. That is the event that will take place, and then indeed the Jews are to flee. So we understand that we believe that it's so that the man of sin is going to make a deal. He's going to make a covenant between the world and Israel to bring peace, a supposed peace, a false peace. And he's going to have, be very charismatic and very able to pursue and do such a thing. And the Jews are going to be allowed to build the temple. And but then in the middle of that, the man of sin is going to declare, not is he just a world leader and not is he just a good guy working out peace upon the earth, but he's going to stand there in the temple and declare himself to be God. And when that happens, those that are in Judea need to flee because he will seek to destroy Israel. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. He said, don't get the fleeing. Get the fleeing. Neither let him, verse 18, which is in the field, return back to take his clothes. Don't go back home, but flee. And woe unto them that are with child. Those that are expectant, those expectant mothers, what a hard, hard, hard time they'll have. And to them that give suck in those days, the women that are nursing. He said it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. The Lord qualifies and says here, no guarantee it's going to be in the summer. It could be in the winter. The Lord Jesus himself said that only the Father knows the day and the hour. It's a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ's humanity that he, in his humanity, doesn't even know when he's going to be sent back by the Lord and when these things will come to pass. He says, pray that it be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand about the reference to the Sabbath day. Could it be that they'll be in the midst of worship when they would do this and it would just make it even greater? I guess that's a possibility. You know, the effect of the man of sin on a Sabbath day. And of course, we worship on the first day of the week because Jesus gave the pattern of appearing and meeting with his church on the first day of the week. He is the first fruits. And rather than putting last in the week, we honor him one day out of seven on the first day of the week. It's all very plain in the scriptures, and the brethren that the Lord used to write the scriptures make that reference to the first day of the week. When we see that in the English, it's like in the Greek, it's first Sabbath. And so it's all very plain that day was the hallowed day, and the concept of one day out of seven still holds true. But rather than the last day, it's the first day. And so, but the Jews, they still hold to worshiping in the holy day of holy convocation is the last day of the week. And so it would just add to it as they would be there observing the Sabbath and the sacrifice of the Sabbath, the worship of the Sabbath, that the man of sin would stand up and say, I'm God. He says, pray ye that your flight, verse 20, be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, it says, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. So there is going to be turmoil and warfare and strife, persecution, the Lord using this to get the attention of his nation, the Jews. It's just going to be terrible. And the Lord is very frank about how terrible it's going to be. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He said, amongst mankind, this is the worst. This will be the worst that it ever has been, and this will be the worst that it ever will be. The judgment of the Lord is going to come upon the nations and the world and the way of mankind and the world system and on his own nation, Israel. He's going to be using this pressure to cause the nation of Israel to see him and to repent. And he's going to save his nation and he's going to be saving his people. It says here in verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. He says that if this was allowed to continue on and go to the full extent that it could, there would be no person saved, but all would be killed. All would be destroyed. Total self-destruction. And then the plagues and the judgment of God. He said, the days will be shortened, because if I didn't shorten them to what they deserve and what should be, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Yes, it says elect's. Elect's sake, those that are the Lord's, he will save in time. The Lord has a people. The Lord has a people, and the doctrine of election speaks to the depravity of man and how bad man is and the sinfulness of man. Man in and of himself is dead, dead in trespasses and sins with no hope. And the Lord elected a people that he will save. He elected a people that he'll save. And for their sake, these days are going to be shortened. And it says here in verse number 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For thou shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. It's going to be that there's going to be those that are going to be, they're going to claim to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, if they've got to tell you, don't believe them. There's going to arise false Christs, false prophets. They're going to be able to do great signs and wonders. They're going to be able to do, they're going to have, Satan is the prince and the power of the air, and he's, the Spirit of God is going to back off, and he's going to be able to empower his to be able to do things. Whether it'll be a gimmick, or whether it'll be the power of darkness at work, they will be great signs, and they'll appear to be great wonders indeed. And the Lord says, don't believe it. They're going to be so good in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so the elect are mentioned here again. It's going to be so good, their performance and their ability, their power is going to be so convincing that it would be able to deceive the Lord's people. He says, don't believe it, but listen to what the Lord says. See, when Jesus shows up, nobody has to tell that it's Jesus. And he's going to make that clear here in coming verses. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.